We all know that salvation is by grace through faith alone in Christ. There is no name under heaven by which we can be saved, because the Bible clearly says that there is none who seeks God. Everyone is unrighteous, the Bible says. And only God can make us alive when we are dead in our transgressions. The Bible clearly says that. Our works and deeds can never earn favor with God. So let me bring in front of you two personalities. One is Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, and the other one is the thief on the cross. One was closest person who traveled with Jesus, but he went straight to hell. But one person who was never with Jesus, but in the point of death, in spite of his criminal life, he went straight into paradise. This difference is so hard to digest that sometimes people even debate about this issue by telling how Jesus could do that. One was closest to him and he went straight to hell, and the other was not even familiar to Jesus, but he went straight into paradise when Jesus has promised him on that very moment. Yes, Judas was a disciple among others, where he was preaching and ministering, and he was even given the powers to cure diseases. We can find this in Luke chapter 9 verse 1. But yet, Jesus knew that he would deceive and told the disciples that one of them is a betrayer. And Jesus even said it would have been good for that man to never be born. On the other hand, we see a robber. This guy is maybe a person would rob things, as we see in one of the parables, and even kill people on the highways. And on the cross, even though he mocked Christ, but when he saw Jesus on the cross, his hardened heart was changed. In the dying moment, he knew his life was wretched, and he confessed his sins just by saying, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Christ replied that he would be with him that very day. We may be asking ourselves a few questions. When it is possible to forgive a man who is entirely in sin, why was Judas not forgiven when he committed only one act of betraying Jesus? When Judas was with Jesus the entire life when he was on the earth, the 3 years. But we must understand one thing. Judas was always money-minded. Sometimes we think that just because we are religious, we can earn favor with God. Let me tell you, and tell to myself as well, we must not fool ourselves by thinking in such a way that just because we are religious, we can earn favor with God. If we think that we did good works and we can earn God's favor by that, the Bible says our good works and our righteousness is compared to filthy rags. We all are sinners and we all deserve hell. None of us deserves God's favor on us. No one can claim that he has done good works, he has not sinned, and God must be kind to them. No, we cannot claim that. But it is up to God, on whom he will show mercy and compassion, on whom he will not show, according to Exodus chapter 33 verse 19. And when he shows that mercy and compassion on us, it will be in abundance, according to Exodus chapter 34 verse 6 to 7. Sometimes we may think that it is not fair, but let me tell you, if you want to talk in terms of fairness, then we must immediately die and we must be sent to hell, because all have sinned and the wages of sin is death. We must not talk in terms of fair, but grace and mercy. On the other hand, it is not unjust to show grace, because Christ has paid the price on behalf of those who trust him, and if we confess our sins, we will be forgiven. Sometimes you may think that there is unrighteousness with God because he forgave the thief and not Judas, because both have committed sin. But one was saved and another was sent to hell. Let me tell you, certainly not. There's no unrighteousness with God, because the word clearly says he has mercy on whom he wills. His mercy is not reward for good works, and heaven is not a price for people who deserve it. Grace, by definition, is undeserving. We do not deserve grace. So it's not unjust or unfair. Let us not talk with our finite minds questioning God's mercy. He is perfect and shows his grace to anyone he wishes. And he told to Moses, I will have mercy and compassion on whom I will. Here is one parable which explains God's mercy and grace. It is in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 15. It is a bit long parable, so I wouldn't read, but I will explain it. But first let me tell you that this parable is not about paying wages equally or to do good works. This parable describes about God's grace. This parable talks about a landowner who will go to and fro to hire laborers in the vineyard to complete the works, and he promises them to pay what is rightful. He promises them a denarius, that is, one silver coin. Early in the morning, he goes to the marketplace, where people usually gather in search of work, and he hired them when they agreed to work for a denarius per day. A denarius a day was a huge amount at those days, so people agreed and they didn't negotiate, because if they lose that opportunity, they would have no food for that day. Again at the third hour, that is 9 o'clock in the morning, the landowner went back to the marketplace. He saw people standing idle and he was generous to them, and he told them to get into the vineyard and work, and he said that he would give them whatever is rightful. And on the sixth and ninth hour, he went and did likewise and gathered as many men as possible to work in his vineyard. And at the last hour of working, that is 11th hour, around 5 o'clock in the evening, he went again into the marketplace and he asked the workers why they were standing idle. And they said no one hired them, and the owner said to them, go into the vineyard and whatever is right, I will give you. So as per the law, every laborer must be paid his wages. So the owner called his steward and asked him to give their wages, beginning with the last to the first. This is the key to the parable, this very phrase, that is, last to the first. We must keep in mind that people in the first worked only 1 hour. Those were the people who had hired at 5 o'clock in the evening. And the people at the last worked for 12 hours, and they were the people who were hired early in the morning. But everyone received the same, that is, one denarius. The men at the last were in no doubt tired and sweating, and when their time came, they thought that they would receive 12 days of wages. Jesus' main point in this parable is not the timings of the landowner, but how much he paid them. When the first came, that is the people who came in the early morning, they thought that they would receive more than the people who came at the last hour, that is at 5 o'clock in the evening. But they received the same denarius. So they complained to the landowner saying, these last men only worked for 1 hour and you made them equal to us, who have borne in the bright hot sun working. They were literally grumbling amongst themselves. They were questioning, is that fair? Yes, the landowner was fair, because he promised the same denarius to the people who came at the early in the morning, and he promised the same denarius to the people who came at the last hour of working. The landowner said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? The evil eye here literally means the people who came first, that is in the early morning, were full of jealousy on the people who came in the evening at 5 o'clock. They were jealousy because they received the same as the other people received. The last hour people were so happy for what they received. Why do you think these people who came in the early morning changed their mind? Because they saw that the people who came at the last were given the same as they received. They envied on the good fortune others received. These people's gratitude changed into bitter resentment. We must notice, Jesus said in this parable that many who are first will be last and the last will be first. This does not mean in terms to serve others when Jesus said, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all. When can everyone be first and last at the same time? If you take an example of a foot race, everyone can be first and last at the same time when the people who participate in the race finish at the same time. This is what we can learn from this parable. This parable explains about God's sovereign saving grace. We all are sinners and unworthy, but God gives eternal life to us through His Son, which is eternal share of His mercy and kindness, even though we don't deserve it. God gives us eternal life according to His good pleasure and equally to everyone. Even the thief who repented in his last moment entered into paradise, just as Peter, John, and James, who literally gave their lives in service to the Savior. Here the denarius represents eternal life, and everyone receives it equally. If we are genuine believers, we will receive full benefits of God's immeasurable grace, just like everyone else. We receive full abundance of God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Heaven is not a reward for long service or hard work. We all enter into same eternal life. We all will receive same spiritual blessings in heaven. We must remember that we are not worthy of heaven, but God, by His grace, gives us eternal life through His Son. That is the good news, actually. None of us can earn our way into heaven, and heaven is not based on our good works or good deeds. We cannot earn our way into heaven because we are sinners, and with men this is really impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God shows no partiality, and He does the seeking and saving. Our salvation is entirely His work. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to save people who cannot see. It is God who shows mercy, whomever He chooses. God calls the sinners, not the people who think they are righteous. He saves people who think of themselves as wretched people, not the people who think that they deserve heaven. As I told you, Christ came to seek and save the lost. And finally, when God promises eternal life, He keeps His promise and gives us more than we deserve. We must celebrate His grace towards us. That is the good news. God, by His grace, giving us eternal life through His Son. Remember, we must not give reason for God's grace on us. We did not deserve it, but still God shows His mercy and His grace on us. For that we must celebrate His grace. The greatest blessing is God making Himself known to us, and we must always glorify Him in our lives. I will come back with another parable next time. Until then, stay safe and healthy. Goodbye.